Shai Aviv is a survivor of the Nova Festival. She, in fact, was in South Africa, and I had the privilege of interviewing and meeting Shai on a panel. I was completely, completely blown away by her story and by her attitude. Also then, yesterday, we spoke with Pastor Heinz Winkler, who, in fact, also interviewed her, and he, too, was very, very impressed and moved by her story. So that's when we decided we needed to bring her story to you. Shai, a very good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm perfect, actually. I'm in India now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you really are traveling the world.
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay.
As much as I can.
Absolutely. So, Shai, I'd love to give our listeners the... bring them the story in the way that you and I spoke about it. Tell us, first of all, who are you? Who were you before the Nova Festival on October the 23rd?
Who were I? Wow. Okay. So, first of all, I'm always Shai Aviv.
Right.
I'm 26 years old, and I live in the center of Israel in a small place called Eben Yehuda. And I have a business of macrame jewelries, and I'm also a student of reflexology.
Right.
In Vingete Academy. And until October 7, I still have my business. Half of my business got stolen inside Gaza on the 7th of October.
Right.
Since then, I try to recover myself also, but also recover my business.
Right.
This is also the reason that I now in India, I come here to buy all the stones for my jewelries.
Right.
And
you went to the festival to sell your jewelry as well. You were a vendor
yes,
there.
Yes, I was going to the Nova Festival since the day the Nova was born. I mean, way before October 7, I'm going to the Nova parties.
Oh wow! Okay.
The trans parties community is big part of my life since I'm 15. I'm going to dance on those parties. And on October 7, for me, it was, you know, it's so much typical to go to open business in a party. But this one go wrong, real wrong. And when the siren started at 6:30, we thought it was only rackets because it's really typical of this area of Israel that the Nova party was. It was like less than 2 kilometers from Gaza. So we thought it's only rackets and sirens. So I started to close everything to put inside my car, all the business. But after a few minutes, I mean, the siren started at 6:30. In like 7 o'clock after 30 minutes, one of my friends that didn't survive came to me and told me, Shai, don't get out from the party. Don't get out. We have terrorists outside. And I started to laugh at first. I didn't understand the meaning of it. I told them, Eric, wait, but the army will be here in a few minutes and beat them, all the terrorists. But after a few minutes of waiting, I started to hear many gunshots, like prrrr, nonstop. We thought this was the army, but it was us.
Were you in the shelter at this point?
I was still inside the Nova party.
Right.
I was inside my car. I was waiting inside. I tried to escape. I tried to get out from the Nova party until my friend told me to wait inside and don't get out.
Right.
But after a few minutes, we realized that the Hamas put blocks outside the Nova party. So all the people that go out first got shot or got killed. So actually, Eric saved my life on this point. But on 7 o'clock, the terrorists get inside the Nova. It was like I was in a position that I saw like 200 people running away together, one falling. You see, one falling after falling after falling.
Oh, my God.
There is so two trucks after them with eight people on it. On every truck, that was at least 8 to 10 people on the truck and just gunshots.
So they're running away. They're running away, and and Hamas are just mowing them down.
Yes. So on this point, I just get inside to my car again, and I scream at my friend, "Get in! We need to run away from here!" But again, the Hamas put blocks everywhere. Mm. So when I started to run away from the party, I get to the main road, and all the road was blocked with burned cars and bodies, and all the terrorists is traveling there like it's their own country with the gun in his hand and just fire everything they see. So I could not manage the runaway, so I just stopped my car in the middle of the road. And in the same second that I stopped my car, I look in the mirror above me and I see truck right behind me. So I screamed at my friend, "Get out from the car now." She managed to escape because I parked my car really next to the road, next to the bush, big bush. Mm, mm. So my friend ran away to the bush, but I need to make a turn from the car to the bushes. Mm,
mm.
But in the same second that I get away from the car, they throwing RPG. I think it less than 1 meter from my head, across less than 1 meter. The explosion was kicking me out inside the bushes, like 5-10 meters. I even don't know. But actually, this has saved my life because now I'm in a position that I'm inside a bush when no one can saw me, but I could saw and hear everything. So in the first place, I was in the bush for like 30 minutes. The things that I saw was too hard to describe even. I mean, all the Arabic screaming, all the Israeli screaming, but then silence. Mm. All the noises of the shooting. After a few minutes, I just decided to put my head on the ground to not see anything, but still I can hear everything. And I hear how they exploded also all the cars. My car was there also. So after a few minutes, when they realized we are inside the bushes, they started to shoot again. So I ran away from the bush, and something inside me just told me, run away back to your car. And really, I don't know, it was really one of the biggest miracles of my life. My car was the only car on the road who was not shot, was not burned.
That's unbelievable. Shai, good morning. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Sorry, I have a power off in the room.
No problem. South Africa, we're very used to power outages. So, Shai, you have this almost a message from wherever it comes from to go back to your car. Your car is miraculously not damaged. Is your friend with you at this point as well?
No, I lost her in the same point that she ran away to the bushes. I saw her only 2 days after.
Okay, but she made it.
She was hiding inside the bushes for like 8 hours.
Oh, my
word. There.
Okay. So you got into your car, and then what happens?
So I get inside my car, and a bunch of people saw me, so they ran away inside my car also.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys took the wheel. I was sitting with him on the front seat. And we just started to run away for like, I think 500 meters. And then we saw on the right side of us, big military tank. So we thought, okay, tank, military, this is our help.
Right.
So we stopped my car right next to the tank. And after 1 minute, we realized it was a broken tank with dead soldiers inside. So we put my car really, really close to the tank so we can hide between the tank and my car. A few people more from the bushes came to the tank. Also, they thought it was going to be help. So we were in the tank in the beginning, like 10 people. We hide in there. Then when they almost like after 1 hour we were there like 20 people, and then after 7 hours we were there like 70 people. So we've been in the tank for like I think 8 hours of fighting. Some of the guys get inside the tank, took from their weapons and grenade and the walkie-talkie, everything that we can fight with. And another security guys from the party that that also have weapons, they came. So the next few hours, we're fighting with like 3 gunshots. The tank was in the middle of a big field, so we have nothing to protect
us. No protection at all, right? So you
no
just
protection
you
at
there.
All. We are in the middle of a big field,
right? And you
open field with nothing.
And you're in and around this tank. You've taken whatever weapons there have been, you know, left there, and this is how you're fighting.
Yes, we also captured 2 terrorists, and we took their guns to fight with because our bullets are over. So we fought on them with their guns. But after a few hours, when the army started to came, it was like at 2 o'clock in the noon.
Wow.
And my car was still standing perfect on the tank in the field.
This car.
I don't know how.
This
really,
car.
Like
I don't know.
Six,
there's
seven
something.
Hours,
yeah.
For like 6-7 hours, they fire from my car, and the Hamas put their fire on my car. I don't know. I got like 2-3 bullets, not in some important place on the car. So one of the police officers told me that I can go after the police car on the way to get help on
right.
one of the kibbutzim. And so me and my friend started to drive after the police car.
Yeah.
And after this, all of these hours of fighting, I see the road as the way he really looks like, with all the bodies and the burnt cars. But after a few minutes of driving after the police car was driving too fast. So we lost her in the middle of the way after like 7 minutes.
Oh my word.
We didn't know what to do. We were starting to panic because the road was still on live fire. So we decided to go back to the tank because this is the only way we know. So we make a U-turn, we go back tank, but 2 minutes before we get to the tank, we saw on the right side of us, Kibbutz Ofakim. So we decided to get inside. We thought, okay, this is kibbutz, we can get help from
yes,
the kibbutz.
Yes.
So only in the entrance, we saw butchered bodies without head, without body parts. We realized this is also a place that gets hard.
Has been attacked,
yeah. So we make another go back to the tank. And when we get to the tank, we already saw that the army was there, capture like 10 terrorists. They put them on the floor tie with their hands tied and their eyes also with the something on their eyes so they cannot see anything. And one of the military guys also told me this military car will really take you this time for a safe place. It took us to Kibbutz Ofakim, which is one of the kibbutzim that they have a police station there. So
this
area was protected-ish. So when we get to Ofakim, we saw the military capture another terrorist and they get them inside a police station. So I tell to my friend that I don't want to get inside. I'm too scared. So my friend sent me number of a family member in Ofakim. So we went to her house.
Right.
But in the same second that we opened the door of the house, again sirens.
Oh.
So we ran away into the safe room. And then we realized it's not the rockets, it's the terrorists. All the neighborhood was with full terrorists. We cannot open the windows. We cannot make a sound, so they not enter the house. So me and my friend got locked ourselves in the children's room.
So right,
nobody
right.
can.
Mm-hmm.
We just put the bed on the door so nobody can open the door. And we were there until the next morning when the police and the army told us that there is no more terrorists in the kibbutz. So only one day after, I managed my way back home with my friend.
Shai, hearing the story, it's hard to imagine that you just were a regular person the day before.
Wow, yes.
And now you're talking about bodies and fighting for hours and taking the weapons off dead terrorists. Can you believe that this is your life?
No, I'm still trying to get used to it. I'm still trying to know myself, the new me. I walk on the street, if I see someone running, I get inside panic, sure, because I'm afraid he's gonna fall and dead. And every like basketball that my neighbors play, for me it's rackets. I'm still learning all this stuff. It's still so much traumatized, everything that's going on. Also, I cannot be calm until all of the hostages kidnapped from Gaza will come back home, or the hostages will come back home. But I'm really trying to manage my life again. It's not simple at all. I get a lot of love, support, and therapy, a lot of therapy.
I'm sure. You can't. It's simply not possible to imagine this and to, well, I don't know if you ever recover from this. I was having this discussion yesterday, and I don't think you ever get past it. I suppose you have to find.
No, I never passed it.
So what does it mean? It just becomes part of you.
Yes, I just need to learn how to manage this with myself, to not freak out every time that I see big truck or every time that I hear a noise that I don't know. I need to learn how to live with those things.
Have you been?
To learn how to live with the trauma hand by hand.
Absolutely. Have you been back to the site?
No, I thought I'm going to after that. I went to South Africa.
Yes.
I was in South Africa for like 2 weeks.
Yes.
And when I came to South Africa, actually, I was starting to talk about my story for the first time.
I remember.
I never talk about my story with anyone, so it was really big part of my process, of my process healing.
Incredible.
So when I came back to Israel, it was really hard for me in the beginning. I was in Israel for like 3 weeks until I was go back to India. Those 3 weeks I was realized how hard it is to be in Israel for me. And I need to heal myself somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. That's the journey. The journey which you are on, Shai. Thank you again for sharing your story with us.